was made in Great Britain by the Medical Recording Service of the College of General Practitioners. The recording and production by Dr. John and Dr. Valerie Graves. Copyright reserved. Orthopedic disorders of the knee, ankle, and foot. The speaker is Mr. J.S. Batchelor, consulting orthopedic surgeon at Guy's Hospital, London.
I'm going to talk today about abnormalities of the knee, which cause weakness and giving way, then about sprains of the ankle, and finally about three abnormalities of the foot, which may cause difficulty in diagnosis. The knee. Weakness of the knee, with what is usually described by the patient as giving way, is a common problem in childhood, adolescence, and adult life, and the conditions which cause it are many. First, osteochondritis dissecans. This is a common cause of weakness of the knee in childhood and adolescence. In this condition, an area of subchondral bone becomes necrotic and separates with its overlying articular cartilage by a process of slow dissection, referred to in the past as Paget's quiet necrosis. In the early stages, the symptoms are a weakness of the knee and recurrent swelling. When separation of the necrotic fragment is complete, the piece of bone and articular cartilage forms a loose body and attacks of locking may then occur. The diagnosis is made from the history and confirmed by X-ray examination. Figure 1. A special X-ray view, what is called the tunnel view, to show the intercondylar region where the trouble lies is often required. The treatment will depend upon the stage at which the diagnosis is made. In the early stages, before the necrotic fragment separates, a period of rest and splintage for the knee may allow revascularization. When the necrotic fragment has formed a loose body, its removal by operation is usually required. Recurrent lateral subluxation of the patella. This is another cause of weakness of the knee at all ages, and one that is often overlooked. In this condition, the patella is abnormally mobile, and in certain positions of the knee, it slips laterally over the external femoral condyle. This is likely to occur chiefly when the knee is flexed, such as when playing games, jumping, stooping, or running. The subluxation is followed by an effusion into the suprapatellar pouch. Joint movements are often full and painless. The diagnosis is made by attempting to push the patella laterally over the external condyle of the femur. When the patella is abnormally mobile and subluxation has occurred, this test characteristically produces pain and apprehension on the part of the patient. Figure 2. Cartilage injuries. Cartilage injuries occur chiefly in young men, that is, in adolescence and early adult life. They are uncommon in childhood and in the female sex. A diagnosis of cartilage injury in women should be regarded with suspicion. Cartilage injuries are produced by forcible rotation of the femur on the tibia. The first symptoms may not be severe, and the patient may be able to finish the game. The following day, the joint is moderately swollen, but the patient is usually able to walk. The chief symptoms are weakness with giving way of the joint, locking, and pain. When a patient complains that his knee locks, it is important to make sure that what he describes is in fact true locking due to displacement of a torn cartilage. This produces an interruption of movement, which is restored suddenly by manipulation performed by the patient or some other person. Not infrequently, a patient will describe as locking the pain and stiffness which develop when the injured joint is first moved after a period of rest. In these cases, it is easy to exclude true locking because movement is not suddenly restored by some manipulative procedure. Pain in cartilage injuries is usually confined to the side of the joint in which the injured cartilage lies, but not infrequently a patient may find it difficult to localize the pain. The physical signs of cartilage injury are swelling and tenderness over the injured cartilage, quadriceps wasting, and a synovial effusion. The two latter signs are occasionally absent, but the signs over the injured cartilage are invariably present and of great diagnostic importance. They are demonstrated by careful inspection of the knees in the flexed position, figure 3. When the medial cartilage has been injured, there will be swelling on the medial side of the joint with loss of the normal contours. In addition, and very important, palpation will show that the groove over the joint line into which the thumb sinks in a normal joint has been obliterated by swelling. This is a most important physical sign, which is, in my experience, invariably present in cartilage injury. In addition, there will be localized tenderness, which in medial cartilage injuries is most pronounced at a point over the medial joint line, midway between the anterior and posterior margins of the tibia. Cruciate ligament injuries. These sometimes give rise to difficulty in diagnosis. They are common in soccer players and are produced by a forcible wrench of the flexed knee. The patient usually has to leave the field and a hemarthrosis quickly develops, producing severe swelling and pain. Walking the following day may be difficult and often impossible. Examination soon after the injury will show a tense, swollen knee. The diagnostic physical sign is abnormal anteroposterior movement between the tibia and the femur. This may be difficult to elicit when the joint is swollen and painful, in which case the joint should be examined under general anesthesia and the hemarthrosis aspirated. The instability of the knee following cruciate ligament injuries frequently produces troublesome weakness and giving way of the joint, particularly when it is under strain. It often terminates the careers of professional soccer players. There is no satisfactory treatment for chronic instability due to old standing injuries, but surgical repair of the ligaments in recent injuries should always be considered. Sprain of the ankle. This common injury is produced by a sudden inversion of the foot when the peroneal muscles are caught off guard. The subtalar joint first locks in full inversion, and if the force continues, the external collateral ligament of the ankle is strained. In the majority of cases, the injury to the ligament is an incomplete tear of the anterior and middle fasciculi. In the more severe injuries, these ligaments are completely torn, allowing a momentary subluxation of the talus at the ankle joint. Many patients are able to walk immediately after the injury, but within a few hours, pain and swelling make walking increasingly difficult. Examination will show considerable swelling and bruising due to extravasation of blood on the lateral surface of the foot and heel. Inversion is painful and limited. In the more severe injuries, in which there has been a subluxation of the talus at the ankle, it may be possible to demonstrate abnormal movement, excessive inversion, although pain may make this test difficult. There is, however, one physical sign which will allow the doctor to recognize these more severe injuries: swelling and tenderness on the medial side of the joint. These signs are invariably present in all joint injuries in which there has been an actual displacement at the time of the injury, and they are therefore of considerable diagnostic importance. An anteroposterior X-ray of the ankle with the foot in full inversion will confirm the diagnosis by demonstrating tilting of the talus in the ankle joint. Treatment. The foot should be supported in a dorsiflexed and everted position with elastoplast for 4 to 6 weeks. Figure 4. The application of Friar's balsam, Tink Benz Co., to the skin before the elastoplast protects the skin and makes the elastoplast adhere more firmly. For the severe injuries, with complete rupture of the ligaments and abnormal movement at the ankle, immobilization in a plaster of Paris cast for 6 to 8 weeks may be required. Persistent pain after ankle injuries, what is described as chronic sprain, is usually due to incomplete healing of the injured ligaments and should be treated by further protection of the joint with elastoplast and not by physiotherapy.